Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have been teaching following God's plan for your life. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. God gave us His Spirit so that we can be helped. In fact, Jesus' words for the Holy Spirit in John 14, He promised another comforter in verse 16. And then John 15:26, which He will send in My name. In John 16, it calls Him the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot, no, the same thing in John 14, verse 17, the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive. In John 16, said He will guide you into all truth, in verse 13. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, the word used is the word comforter, which is where you have the Greek word parakletos, or paraklete in the English, which is someone who stands alongside, or someone who bears you up, or someone who is an enablement, that his job is to take over from you. That's the point. That's a paraclete. It takes over from you. He's not in partnership with you. No. He does 100% of the work. Yours is to respond by receiving His help. He's not in partnership. We are not partners with the Holy Spirit in the context that we supply. You know, in a company, you have partners, and then you have senior partner. I think a man wrote a book, Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. I guess he thought he's a junior partner. He's not senior partner, you a junior partner. And then he says, well, what are the responsibilities? I do this, I write the report, you submit it and stuff like that. No, He is the helper. Yours is to receive. If there's any partnership at all, you are on the receiving end, He's on the giving end. Is that clear? Is that clear? So Jesus gave us a helper that is the Holy Spirit. Now, if we will fulfill God's plan for our lives, and let's say, this is careful, and you need to know this, I know I mentioned this in the series I taught on Facebook, that you are not called to impress God. You are not called to impress God. You are called to receive and follow Him. You're not called to impress Him. You're not called to show Him how great you can be or how solid you can do His will. No, no, you're supposed to receive and follow Him. Alright? See, I'm not called to impress God. So quit trying to impress Him. He's unimpressible. My grammar. So, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If you back up in verse 9, it says you are not in flesh in verse 8, but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It says if any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. If Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead to sin and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And so verse 11, it says if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. So Jesus is talking about the Spirit of God given to everyone who is born again. So he says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in verse 15, he says, but we have not received the spirit of bondage again in affair, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In 16, he says, the spirit bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, this is a gift from God, and a gift to fulfill God's plan and purposes for our lives. So, now, when we say be led by the Spirit, that means you are carried by the Spirit. You are helped by the Spirit. And many times, and I want you to listen to this because it's very, very important. Many times, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we seem to think that, and I see Christians start to desire experiences. Okay, like they're looking for something else apart from what has been given. And that happens many, many times. They look for something else apart from what is given. Now, let us be, and I've said this to you many times, that we, in the bid to look for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. I know people will be in this room tonight who are praying for God to speak to them. But they're praying their own prayer. Because the Bible is very explicit about the Holy Spirit. Now, look at a portion of scripture. First, Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament, who prophesied about the grace that shall come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. He says in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with what? The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven with things the angels desire to look in. Now, it says the gospel is preached unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. But it says that the Old Testament was the Spirit testifying of Christ, that is, his sufferings and the glory that should follow. So, if anything, we have the Spirit. Alright? Speaking or has spoken in the Old Testament. See that? We have the Spirit already has spoken. Just like a lecturer who gives you his lecture notes. I didn't say handouts. Depending on school you went to. He sends his lecture notes ahead of time. And that lecture note contains all the things that a course entails. Then he comes to the class to go over what he has sent to you. You've got to know, now pay attention here, that what is written is easier retrieved than the lectures. Still there? Come on. Are you still there? So the Holy Spirit has documented words for us. In 2 Peter again, chapter 1, it says in 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It says, for the prophecy came not. Now, when it says for the prophecy, he's not talking about prophecies generally, but the prophecy. Now, when you hear the prophecy, it's probably something specific, right? That's the Old Testament, the prophetic scriptures. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So clearly, it gives credence to what he wrote in the first epistle. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says the same thing, and it's how he puts it. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What the King James did was to split up a compound word. Alright, it's a compound word that simply means breathed out by God. But he split it up, okay, by saying given by inspiration of God. But you will discover the word given in the Greek is not present. So it says it's by inspiration of God. Now when it mentions inspiration of God, is where you have the word breathe out, where you have the word air. Now there was the same underlying word for spirit. That is referring to the Holy Spirit. Inspiration, you remember that? Air, breathe. You have the word breathe into, that is where you have the word air, and then you have the word wind, you have the word pneuma, and that's what you have here. So it says, breathed out by God. How? By the Spirit of God. So listen now. So, the leading of the Spirit starts with the written word. You see that? I see that. The leading of the Spirit primarily starts with the written word. What is written was spoken before it was written. Are you following this? What is written was first spoken before it was written. Now, of course we know that in saying this, Paul writing to Timothy was referring to the Old Testament of the Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament of Scripture. Now the epistles, in Ephesians chapter 2, and then verse 20, it says, and I build, talking about the church, upon the foundation of the apostles. That's not the Old Testament now. You don't have apostles in the New Testament. And prophets, Jesus Christ himself, he says, being the chief cornerstone. Okay, so he's talking about the words inspired by God through his apostles and then his prophets. He says, we're built upon that foundation. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid, and it says it was Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So he's saying again here that what is here is inspired by God. It's the Holy Spirit writing to us. He brought us that in chapter 3. He says like this. He says in verse 3, how that revelation, by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore, it says in few words. Then it says in verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Let's take verse 5 together. That in the other ages, let's take verse 5 together. Let's go. That in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy prophets, apostles and prophets, by the Spirit. So what we have here is by the Spirit. So we have the leading of the Spirit, okay? The revelation of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, documented in the pages of Scriptures. Hallelujah. The leading of the Spirit. So leading is taught from the Scriptures. Leading is taught from the Scriptures. It's not difficult to know the leading of the Spirit, because the leading of the Spirit is taught in the Scriptures. And I remember saying this in one of our classes in our school, and I said that one of the great miracles of the written word is that it makes what God has said unalterable. It's documented. So, nobody, just like today, we just read something right now about the second coming. Now I know many of us, or some of us probably, I thought that that scripture was talking about the rapture. But right now, you won't think so anymore. But you know why it's so easy for you to believe otherwise? Because it is written. You can read it. Now if somebody says he has an encounter with someone, Jesus or any of his brothers, and says to you that one shall be taken away, you begin to laugh. They tell the Jesus to reread the Bible, because you are already led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It takes you out of ignorance into light. See that? You are already led by the Spirit of God. So, watch me now. It is written so that it can be read. And so that it will lead you. So, God, listen now, God's foundational guidance is the written word. The foundational guidance that God has given to you. If you will never hear a voice from today till the second coming, if you're still around. If you will never hear a single voice, have a dream. I just wish some of us never dream. Because our dreams always come to pass. Isn't that dangerous? I tell you, it says my words will come to pass, but your dreams are coming to pass. Because I know my auntie. Any dreams you dreams, it comes to pass. That's it. All our dreams come to pass. Even Joseph just had two. Praise God. The dreams come to pass doesn't mean it's going to benefit you anyway. Now, if you will never see an angel, if you will never see anything, ensure you have a Bible. Because the greatest revelation to guide you in life is a written word. What is written can be read. Hallelujah. What is written can be read. And if you love a doctor, will you say, "Sorry, sir, where did you get your professional degree?" The guy says, "It's intuitive. By performing surgery, somebody you know." "I don't understand intuitive." He said, "No, I didn't have to go to school. What I'm going to do in this room, guys, I didn't read it from anywhere. I was just in my room and a voice said to me, bring out the dagger. Tear the heart into two. You will tell your relative, you are healed. Get up. Get, let's go home." Hallelujah. See that? So, God's foundational leading is the written word. Or you have a pilot about to fly you from Lagos to Abuja and say, "Guy, you know what? Never been to flying school. But trust me, I have a strong intuition. And I have this leading. And I dream and they come to pass. I dreamt this morning that we land in Abuja." I say, "Hold on, guys. I want to use the restroom down." You leave the place. So, the primary leading is the written word. And that's why Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, we must learn not to exalt anybody above that which is written. You must learn not to exalt anybody above what is written. Anybody. You must learn not to exalt anybody above that which is written. Nobody. Okay? So, what will be my responsibility is to do the word. To do the word. I'm not looking for voices. I'm just going to do the word. What is written to be read, understood, and acted upon. Hallelujah. Since I'm Christmas, we get them BlackBerry. "Sir, what word do you have for me today as a study?" What else? To show that self-approved. One says, "Sir, I have a word for you." I said, "I have two for you." Say, "What? Shut up. You go read your Bible, Jack. It's not disturbing the whole world. These are troubling Israel. You will need to be accustomed." You see, and it's so dangerous when you find Christians who don't read the Bible, say they are led by the Spirit of God. How? How would you know that the voice you're listening to is the voice of the Holy Spirit? How would you know? How would you know the impressions you're getting is from the Spirit of God? How would you know? How would you know the vision you saw is from the Lord? The only way you will know is by knowing what was written. I've had cases. In a few years I've been a pastor, I've had a case or cases where people were in touch with what we call familiar spirits. Had a lady who had a being that came to her three times. And that being was always in white. I don't know how you got to know that Jesus was in white, but that's no problem. Was in white, and he always had nails, the hands, you know, the body isn't so glorified, but blood still shedding in the hand. And then he had no shoes. I had a problem because I know she came from the other kind of churches where they wear no shoes. So easy to see that kind of Jesus. But I didn't have a problem with that. So this being will always come and talk to her. That was years ago. Many years ago, almost 20 years. And I will sit with her and I listen and I will know this is a dangerous spirit. But you know, it was very difficult. Eventually, that evil spirit led her to marry someone. Mention someone's name. the person did exactly what the Spirit said. You know, he has the glory, controls his people, and they will do exactly what he says. That's the evil spirit. So everything fell in place. So I had to take a while to explain to her from the Word. And then one day, just in a gee, just a, she said, ah, that means the person I saw wasn't Jesus. I said, yeah, it wasn't Jesus. She was married. Amen. Praise the Lord. And why was she susceptible to things like that? Because she wasn't paying attention to the written word. You've got to pay attention to the written word. You've got to pay attention. You see, and that's the danger of those who go to churches looking for a word. I caught the word. It will cut you into pieces. I just caught the rhema. Soon you will cut rhema chapel. You're catching all over the place. I caught the rhema. It's for stupid Christians who catch all over the place. Good Christians will listen, study, to catch anything may take you years. You say, I caught that thing finally. After hours of meditation. But you see, we are lazy Christians. We want to go to church and receive a miracle. I receive this one. So anything you tell them to do, they do. One told me that she wanted to go and have a bath. A Pentecostal church. I said, why? So Naaman was washing the river 7 times. I said, well, let's ask the script properly. Number one, be a leper. Isn't that stupid? That's the thing, right? Days of all the world. And what? He that is put inside water shall be healed. Is that what he says? Dummy. But when you will not read. You see? So, you are led by the Spirit of God in the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Have you read the temptations of Jesus? You know, fourth probably in Nigeria. The 3 times when Jesus, I was in Matthew 4. And before. He left that, did you? The 3 times Jesus didn't say, Holy Spirit, move me now. He had the Holy Spirit. Right? John just told us in John chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit came on him and remained. But here is Jesus. The 3 times he said, it is written. And I've had people, you know, twist that place. They say, oh, the 3rd time, Jesus said, it is said. That's Rhema. Rhema of God. Fullnesses. How you know it's not true? Because they don't say it again. Hallelujah. Numbano. You are so enthused with Greek words, right? When you get to Greece, they will throw you out. Yeah. That's not your language. And I said, but what was said was written, sir. He said, it is said in my mind. It is said in the Scriptures. Jesus 3 times responded to the devil by what is written. You'll only know what is written when you have read it. Not just read it. No, Jesus did not misquote anyone. This is blah, 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 blah. Come on. It is written. Matthew, Babel, and wanting. Bible things. The devil has said, stop there, wanting. Now, who is next? Faithful of God. Thou shalt not test, no? Test one? You got me there. He said, it is written. I read it. You got to know that the Scriptures are written for you to follow them. Luke 24:25-27. Say, hold you slow of heart. Oh, you fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he says, beginning from Moses, and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Those things were written. Jesus came to do what was written. You can't be any more led than what you read and what you know. Shall I take that again? You can't be any more led than what you read and what you know. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. He says, you shall meditate therein day and night and observe to do all that is what?
Written.
Thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. All that is written. So he asked me, he said, what is your favorite literature? I said, the Bible. He said, no, I'm not talking about the Bible. I said, the Bible. Yeah. He says, the book of the law, the prophet. That's Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walks to the castle of the ungodly. Sitting in the scuffle, standing in the world, sinners. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, with the law of the Lord, the Old Testament referring to the written word. In this law, does he meditate day and night? It says, he shall be like a tree in the midst of waters, in the, by the streams of water. It says, his leaves shall not wither. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Notice, it is say, and the Holy Spirit shall say unto him. Why? Because what is written is inspired. That's the Holy Spirit. And nothing will change. What is written? Paul says to Timothy, he says, meditate on these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, give yourself unto them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now I want you to pay attention. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, the Spirit speaks expressly. Expressly. Unhindered. In these last days. It's not interesting that what the Spirit spoke expressly, we are reading it now. Hallelujah. It's still written now. And we are reading it. Now many times, seven times in Revelation, Revelation 2:7. Let him that hath hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It is verse 11, verse 17, verse 29, Revelation 2. Revelation 3, 6, 13, and then 22. He says the same thing again and again. Now, interestingly, what is he saying? Notice everything the Spirit said is written. Everything the Spirit said is written. So listen carefully. The leading of the Spirit is not a subjective knowledge that is known only to you in that context. It must have been written in the Scriptures. Or, it must always agree with that which is written in the Scriptures. For example, I heard someone say this, and I was shocked. Hurricane Katrina happened, and the man came on television, Christian television, almost mentioned the name. And he said, the Lord told him that, now if you know that part of America, what's the name again? Huh? What's the part of America? Why am I forgetting it? Huh? I just forgot. Now, that part of America was, it had more people into witchcraft. And he said, God got so angry of witchcraft. Because it is Western, and those guys are Africans. He doesn't like black stuff. So he got so angry at witchcraft. What is it saying? Witchcraft. Now, I don't know the truth. Even though this is just one of the many works of the flesh. But he just picked the one that he hates the most. And so, he faces that place, and then he destroys them with water. Interestingly, in God's anger, some believers died, and some unbelievers stayed alive. Isn't that so irrational, erratic, and silly? At least they calculated. At least if there's a judgment, we find the churches stay afloat, maybe other places under the water. But both the churches and the folk, just didn't want to distinguish anybody. It's just too angry, much like the bull in the China shop. Raging bull now. Aren't you silly? Why would God say to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that he will not count trespasses against the world, then he will turn back and then do something else? And you want to tell me the person who caused Hurricane Katrina is God? It cannot be. But you had a vision, it could be a television, that's your problem. What we have is the written word. We are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You can't marry a Muslim now and tell me you were led. Led by who? You are coppered. The Lord was just speaking to me that it's for his salvation. It's for his salvation. Do you get my point? Don't worry. You see his redemption. I told you about a lady who she just married this wonderful, handsome brother. That's a brother guy. And they got married against all counsel. The very night of our wedding, brother guy used to come for services, consistent fellow. Now that we're wedding, the guy just, she was in lie down, you know, having a great time. She opened her eyes and saw something that looked like a vision. And she said, third heavens, no, this is the fourth heavens. The guy brought her praying mat. Sit out. Daddy? He said, I only came to the church because I know born again Christians are very good girls. Alright? Now, how did she get to that point? We're going to see it in a moment. So, someone said, yay. Someone's checking the brother in church. I say, huh. I hope not. I hope not. I hope not. You build your life on the written word. Look at it. Do you have a devotion where you study the scriptures? I have a book plan. I have a Mac plan in my Bible study in January this year. And I read a book of the Bible every day. A book, not a chapter. A book of the Bible every day. Just read through it every day. Sometimes when I miss it out, next day I read two. Every day, just read through. I'm not reading to preach. I'm just reading through it. Because that's just where God is leading you. Hallelujah. He's leading you there. Build your life on the written word. Now, I'm going to say something quickly. You've got to catch it in that very briefly. Now, the written word will mean, now listen now, the word of God that we see here, what's written here, black and white, depending on your Bible. Some have some red in yours. Now, many times, what is written is now spoken. Don't forget it was spoken, then written so that it will be spoken. Good. Now, I'm going to teach you something very basic here, very basic, about Christian leading, Christian living, pardon me, and the leading of the Spirit. Now, in the scriptures, Listen now. In the scriptures, when it comes to our approach to the word, we have hearing the word. And we have reading the word. I'll take that again. Hearing the word and reading the word. Now, if you read the scriptures very well, I don't have time to go through all this, the hearing takes preeminence over the reading. Of course, what you hear must be what you have read. But the hearing takes preeminence over what is referring to. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:14. Now that's a scripture for an unbeliever, I hope you know. Faith comes to the unbeliever. When the word comes to the unbeliever, it gives faith. It gives faith. When the word comes to a believer, it gives knowledge. Okay? The word doesn't give faith to a believer. The believer already has faith. When the word comes to a believer, it gives knowledge. When the word comes to an unbeliever, it gives faith to believe and be saved. Is that clear? Good. Now, so it comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes or is by hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. Same thing, Galatians 3:3-4. Comes by hearing, 3:4-5. What is heard? What is heard? What is heard? Okay. So hearing takes preeminence. That is listening. Okay? Now, hearing is not just taking cognizance of a voice or a sound. Hearing means you are paying attention. That is, you are applying your mind to what is spoken, which must have been written. So, we will look at some things about, because that's what I'm teaching tonight, some things about hearing. Talking about hearing the word, or hearing the Holy Spirit, or hearing the Spirit of Truth. Now, I call this basic instructions to listening to God. Now, listening to God will be listening to what is written. I hope you get this. You get this? Alright, good. Now, the first rule of hearing, and this is important, you don't lie to yourself. The first person you always want to listen to is yourself. How many of you agree with me? Want to lie here? The first person you will love to listen to is yourself. Usually, we like what we like. Isn't that strange? We like what we want. We want what we like. And that's quite dangerous, because we're never to be self-sufficient. The Bible says, we are not sufficient of anything to think of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. So, we mustn't be self-reliant. Then we begin to rely on our logic and the way we think. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 3, Paul highlights how powerful, and I said that to you before, the mind is powerful. How powerful our thoughts can be. In verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, he says, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The word strongholds, now of course this scripture is teaching and preaching about taking the word to an unbeliever. Right? This scripture is not based on the Christian, but it highlights what can be in the mind of a man. Still there? Are you still there? Now, it says strongholds. Now, in proper Bible interpretation, it's not saying strongholds, then it now mentions cast it down. No. The next verse explains the previous one. So, what we deal with is we have a warfare to pull down strongholds. Now it's talking about where we get to places to preach the gospel, where we get to teach the gospel. Say the strongholds are the enemies of our warfare. The word stronghold is a strong word. The word stronghold is actually where you have a kingdom, the base of a kingdom. The same thing about David, worried about David in 2 Samuel, I think chapter 8, verse 17 or 7, where the Bible says that, and this was a city of David. David had a fort, a fortress. The same word in 1 Kings, I think that's from chapter 18 or so, or 8. And then it says, this is the city of David, the fortress of David. So he uses the same word here, stronghold, where your power comes from, where the seat of authority is. So you need to pull down strongholds, a base of authority. What are these things? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. So we're pulling down, it's casting down, right? Strongholds will be up, imaginations. In every thing, high thing, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Of course, how you know this is not talking about Christian is the next scripture. And having all readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That is when you have believed the gospel, where you now come against all sorts of disobedience. Now, since the obedience of Christ, Christ's obedience for us. That's what it's talking about. Now, so I'm preaching the gospel here. So, in context, now pay attention now. He's saying to you, the strongholds are imaginations. The strongholds come in form of a knowledge. Gnosis, the word here. Something you received. And again he says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is thought, thinking pattern. So, the first thing you will always love to obey is your thinking pattern. How you think. You tell yourself, this is how I think. I think this way. I know people that think suspiciously. I know ladies that have a man buzzer around them. Every man that says hi, they think wants to toast them. They don't have strong goals. They have stronger holds. We have folks like that. We have men also. Every lady that says hi is liking them. And they always think one Sunday. Sometimes just a stronghold somewhere in your mind. And we have people also who have a stronghold where they're afraid. They're afraid of poverty. Afraid of different things in their lives. Some are afraid of failing. You know, and there are things that have come so strong in your mind. They have become strongholds. That is, you never let them go. Those are things that guide you. And you see, listen carefully. And this is important. One thing I was going to tell people, and this is important. Man is a product of influence. There is nothing you believe today, you do today, you were not influenced to do or believe. So remove that, that's from you, it's not from you. Every information guiding you today has a source. Jeremiah 10:23 says, it is not in man to direct his steps. And that's absolutely true. Paul teaches us the same thing in Ephesians 2:1-3. He says that the people who are children of this world, children of disobedience, are led by the spirit of the world. So, your mind is vital. That's why in this teaching, I kept emphasizing renewing the mind. Remember that? Romans 12:2. It says, renew your mind. You've got to renew your mind. It says in Ephesians 4:17. It says the same thing. Do not think the way the Gentiles think. Ephesians 4:22-23. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to renew your mind. So say, how often do I renew my mind? As often as your mind exists. You've got to always renew your mind. Always. See, life bombards you with thoughts. Every word comes from a thought. every statement on television, everything in books, everything spoken on the pulpit, everything spoken about in the news, they came from thoughts. So they will come to you and they never remain barren. They will always be there to sow seed thoughts. So every word that you hear today, you hear tomorrow, all those words are thoughts in form of words. And when they come on your mind, they settle as thoughts. So the first person you will always love to listen to is yourself, the way you think. I don't think I can help myself is a thought pattern. I think I can help myself is a thought pattern. I know what I'm doing is a thought pattern. I don't know what I'm doing is a thought pattern. So everything is a thought pattern. And so we need to first of all realize that every word is first of all a thought before it is spoken. And so when it is spoken and gets on the soil, which is your mind, it will stay there as a thought. Are you still there? Are you still there? So Paul says we must pull down strongholds. That's by, doesn't use small words. He says cast down. He says bring into captivity. Those are very, very fussy words. Very forceful words. So renewing the mind is not a tea party. It's not bread and tea. Renewing the mind is an aggressive approach to ensure that my mind is free from contamination. Renewing the mind is an aggressive work. It's not something you do gradually. That's why if you want to renew your mind, you must get a solid Bible teaching church, for instance. You're going to see, you must have friends who bombard you with the Word of God. You must bombard yourself as well with the Word. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 15:33, please go there quickly. It says, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. And why the Greek word used communication is because talking about company. Alright? But look at the word communication. It says that is your company's influence on you, which comes by words. So it says they corrupt good manners. That is, a vibrant prayer life can be corrupted by a non-prayer life. That is, a guy who wants to serve the Lord. See, if you want to lose your ministry, just marry the wrong person. If you want to lose your calling, have friends with people that don't want to be interested in the things of God. If you want to lose, see, it's just about people. If you want to live in sickness and disease, just stay around people who don't believe in divine healing. Stay around them long enough and they will influence you. See, because everything you know to is by company. So anything you know can be corrupted, changed, influenced by company. So you need to know the place of company. Companies can create strongholds on your mind. You need to keep the right company around you. I will not continue to emphasize this, because company is as important, how was it like being born again? Something close. Company is as important as anything you're doing. You must stay around the right information. You must stay around the right persons. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. You must stay around the right influence. So I say, does the church I go matter? Sure it does. Where you fellowship matter. The friends that stay around, they matter. Of course they do. They always matter. Why? The Bible says it, and I can tell you, it is all over your life too. Hallelujah. They matter. Sometimes we think friends we're talking about are just friends we see every day. No. People that you tweet with. People that you Facebook with. People with the BlackBerry chat. All those things are mediums of influence. You know, the devil has stepped out of just seeing you virtually. I mean, seeing you physically, or can have virtual contact, which may not have to do with seeing you physically. I can have someone so close to me that we don't see every day. Who agrees with me? And we are so close. But I don't see him every day. I don't see her every day. But you talk every day. Don't forget, every word is first of all a thought before they are typed or pinged. Right? So you must keep, it is something a believer must always be careful of, his inner circle. You must always have the right influence. I always keep people around me who are going to where I'm going to. Very clear. Someone told me, so, you know, it was carried away with our business interests and how we enjoy it. Said, so I went down to on Friday evenings. My partner said, vigil. So now I said, Bible study. Oh, yes, hanging out, you know. I just hang out. I said, where? Is there a Bible seminar somewhere? I said, oh, see, Bible. I was like, hang out, guy. When we're done with this business, we'll sign everything we have to sign. You go home, we go home. Thank you. God bless you. He said, no, but you know, you don't have to drink. I don't drink myself. You just be around people, you know. I said, you don't drink. You don't drink what exactly? Be specific. Sorry, you know, I just go home, go read the Bible. Amen. So you keep, because sometimes they're just business associates. Business associates, and stay in the business place. That's another business. Hallelujah. So you've got to keep the right influence around you. How do we know that? We're led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God said so. See that? He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. No, the Spirit of God said that. He said that to you. Don't say, Father, what should I do about this guy? He won't say anything to you. Because you are a stubborn person. Even if you have someone rise from the dead, you will still not believe. I like that thing by Abraham. He spoke from experience. So Jesus also talks about how we hear. You're not talking about how we hear. So, let's say this quickly. Always be careful about listening to yourself. Do you know what I do? This is, by the way, I just have to say this to you. If I have to take a critical decision about my life, ministry and all that, I just tell myself, I will listen to the word. So I just play materials, I listen to them. Many times, they just change my thoughts. Some of you have seen that happen to you before. It just changes your thoughts. But you know, what some of us do, we'll sit down and say, you are listening to yourself. You just want to listen to yourself. Get the word of God around you. Amen. In Mark 4:24, Jesus says it this way. He says, take heed. I don't know who has the amplified version here. That is not around. You have amplified? Oh, you have that. Thank you. Mark 4:24. He says, take heed. I've not opened it. He says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Now, if you know, this is the way I study. When I'm listening to the word, I don't have a version, I'll write it in my notes, Amplified version. Because that's the way to study. So anytime I'm reading the notes, I'll get the Amplified version so that I will understand what was said. Mark 4:24, this is the Amplified. It says, be careful what you're hearing. Just like what I'm saying. The measure, pay attention to this, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you. Now I know this from experience. Light will come more. There will be more light when you study than when you are listening. As you keep feeding on it, more light will come to you on the same subject. It says the measure of thought, thank you, and study you give to the truth that you hear. So, the more thought and study you give to it, the more virtue you're going to get. James 1:19, it says, be swift to hear, be slow to preach. Is that not true? Most of us lose what we hear because we want to share it before we heard it. Be swift to hear, be slow to talk about it, and be slow to react, be slow to wrath. So you've got to be slow. Pay attention to details. I taught you that four important parts of the human life. How do you know that teaching? Changes lives. Amen. You've got to pay attention to details. That's the essence of taking notes in church. So you can pay attention to the details. You go buy the material, listen again and again and again and again. There's always a second and a third and a fourth hearing to what you have heard. If Jesus says the measure of thought and study you give to what you hear shall be the measure of power that comes back to you. See, in instructions, we lose God's leading. If you will just take more time and listen again and again. Someone asked me, how long do you listen to a teaching? As long as possible. There are some, I keep playing, you know, I listen to some in the night, this last few weeks, I play sometimes four times on my iPad. It goes four times, five times. Then I sleep off the sixth time, then I wake up and start to listen again. And sometimes it's like, oh, I missed that the other time. Then again, oh, I missed that the other time. And I'm taking notes of what I'm listening to. So, your listening is so critical. To your living. You must listen. In church, you must pay attention. That's why simple things like switch off your phone. Don't ping in the service. You see, it's not just about the rules and orders of the service, it's about you. Sometimes it's while you're answering a call and important information passes you by. Sometimes it's why you're trying to send something to someone or talk to someone in the service. It's a matter of principle. If I enter the service, I tell my friends, sorry guys, when I get inside, I'm not going to talk to you throughout. So I'm going to listen to the word of God. When we're done, then we can gist. Because I have to listen. I have to take a lot of notes. I have to pay attention to the things I've been taught. I went to a conference in March, and when I was done, I went to meet the man that taught. I said, you made a statement, sir, because I can get the seats now. Say, can I correct what you said? Because I wrote something that I didn't get it clearly. So I mentioned so, so, and so. I said, thank you very much, sir. Bye-bye. I'm particular about what I listen to. Because that's my life. Say, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them in the midst of your heart, and let them not depart out of God. Last day was a friend, verse 22. Verse 4, 20 to 22. And hell to all their flesh. Praise Lord. Are you still there? So you've got to pay attention. So when James says that, then he says in 21, he says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of darkness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. How would you receive? When you listen well. When you listen well, you receive. Those have asked me before, he said, what is revelation? Revelation is how you receive the word. Revelation is how you receive the word. It's in these little details that many of us miss God's leading in our lives. These little things. Why not just meditate on the word? Are you aware tonight the Holy Spirit is talking to you? See, we lose out on simple things. Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. What are your services? Why should we have more services so that the Holy Spirit will keep talking to us from the written word? That Christianity is not a personal race. It's a lie. People just cook up things that are not biblical. Christianity is a personal race. It's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing. Christianity is collective. That's why when you're born again, you're born into a family. You're born into the church. So there's nothing personal about Christianity. My Lord and personal Savior. Is that in your Bible? Is the Lord. And the Savior, not your Lord, not your Savior. He's the Lord, he's the Savior. So, Christianity is not personal. God's going to send people to you. God's going to send you to people. The body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. Good. So, here we go. He says, you will now receive with meekness the grafted word that is able to save the soul. Receive meekness. engrafted word that is able to save the soul. Say, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Remember, preacher? No. I had privilege to see him a couple of years back, maybe 1999. So I reminded him that I was under him in 1992. Well, I said, "Let's see the anointing." So I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll tell you the scripture you used." And I went, "Oh, boy." He said, "Wow! You are preaching the teaching for me." You know the point? I had the notes at home. Praise God. The notes were at home. Had them written down. Study them. See, pay attention. The Holy Spirit, listen now, will not lead you outside the written word. So why not just, if you will not have a single dream from God, if you will not have a single vision from God, if you will never hear a voice that says, my son, thou art forsaken me, sorry. If you will not, I'm sorry for that, eh? You're with my father, right? If you will not have a single encounter with any angels, you have enough written. Is that fair? Enough is written for you. But you know, some people rather than take notes in church, you'll be taking notes, listen to a voice. And he says unto me, I will go. I will accomplish. This is my season. Oh yes, thank you, Father. Oh, shambababa. Oh yes, yes, yes. All the enemies are dying one by one. I'm the last one that will die. The same person is in church. He that sleepeth nor slumbers shall never keep Israel. Because many times when we're looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. They're looking for a voice from heaven. Told you the story years ago. I just fresh in the ministry then, almost 20 years now, and I was saying, Lord, move me, do it. And I've read many men of God, you know, men of God have asked you a lot. I do it too. 90 days. I was in Mount Horeb. The Lord appeared to me and he spoke to me. He said, son, the anointing is on you right now. So you say, 90 days, I'll do 120. I went on fasting and I said, hey God. And I was so quiet. I had fasted, and you know when you're fasting, you're so weak. Anything will be the voice of God that month. By the way, we're going to fast very soon. We're going to fast very soon. Amen. So I went, yes. Then I heard some breeze just came. Like the Lord. I said, what? Thank you, Lord. I raised my hand. I opened my eyes like this and the window was open. I said, oh, no, shana. You know, and I was just silly enough to remind myself that it's written in the word of God that I have received power. After when the Holy Ghost came on me. So that fasting was a fast in ignorance and stupidity and greed. Because when you want more than what you are giving, you're greedy. Alright? So, we find Elisha. That's Elisha. Elijah, sorry, 1 Kings 18. Sorry, I got the wrong scripture. 1 Kings 18. Or did I say 18? I think it's 19, sorry. And then Elijah is seeking for God. And what does he do? The Bible says there was a wind, the earthquake, the fire. Those things say, God is here. But God was not in them. In those spectacular things, you will have thought, God is here now. They say, God was not in it. But in a still, small voice. Many times we ignore those simple things that we hear every day. Are you aware the inward witness comes to you every day? Are you aware that you have a prompting from the Spirit of God every day? Are you aware? If you just backtrack and think, you will know that according as it is written, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You will know that, Romans 8:16. You will know. But most of the times, why we ignore the inward witness is because we don't listen to the Word of God about the inward witness long enough. You know, sometimes, you know, you can like some books about visions and angels and stuff like that. And those are the things you pay attention to. And then, you are not listening to the basic truth. John 8:12. I have the light of life. Now we are in the light. Ephesians 5:8-9. You know, I want something like the chariots of fire. The way we, my father, you know, things like that seem to appeal to us because we are in the senses. And God leads us in simple things. You know, you could be praying to God for direction and the answer comes in a cell meeting. Most of the time, that's what happens. And just, why not at that moment? While you're trying to look for something extraordinary, why not play a teaching tape? Sorry, tapes are going right now. A CD? Why not just read the word? Why not just, you know, just listen to the word? And you will find direction in everything God has ever said. The leading of the Spirit is so close to us that we ignore it, looking for spectacular things. Did you ever bother to know why the apostles majored on church meetings? Why? You'll find Christians today, they're so busy to be in service, but they have some special programs they go for. They don't go for normal Bible study, special programs. Hey, I don't miss second Friday of the month. What's happening there? It's a breakthrough night. Ah! If you see the prophetic anointing that just came that day, and the man of God just went down to now call his eyes will be red. Is this shakara for you? You understand? So, but such believers, if they can think very well, they know they are just being foolish. Every church meeting is important. Why? The Holy Spirit said so. He said so. He told you not to forsake the assembling together one another, Hebrews 10:25, as the manner of some is. As you see the day approaching. In Acts 2:47, it says the apostles taught daily. Do you ever bother to see Paul's church services in Acts 20? The Bible says he started to teach from the evening, he taught till midnight, Eutychus went to heaven, came back, and the service continued. Till the break of day, 12 hours. Why were they like that? Were they slave masters? No. The more of the word of God you hear, the more submerged you will be in the light of God. The more submerged you will be in the directions that God has given to you. The more that most of the things on your mind will be what is written in the Word. And that's why it's only a Christian who is not helping himself that attends churches where the Word of God is not given preeminence. You are not helping yourself. You are not helping. You will, payday will come one day. You are not helping yourself. You are not helping yourself. You're not helping yourself. Because you need to hear the Word. You need to hear the Holy Spirit talking to you. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, remember? When the husband died, the wife came how many hours after? Short service was still long. But was it 3 hours or 5 hours? 3 hours after. Imagine, a short service. After the first miracle, 3 hours. You know, if it were in this day, she would have come to service. Ah, no, I don't come. It's too late. Who should have preserved that? Yes. I don't go to churches that, I like churches that are, they're short and sharp, straight to the answer. SMS, short message service. Briefly! Pastor calls, hallelujah. He says, every day is a good day. If you're down, you can come up. Look up when you're rising. I remember Jack and Jill went down the hill. And Jack said to Jill, I love you. Jill said, I love you too. This is my Bible. Everything that is in it is true. And what it says that, and you don't open it more than once. Do you make sense? Let up out of the promo. Say la. If it's a Bible teaching church, you'll always be reading it. Because Paul, by the Holy Spirit, you must give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, read verse 13. He says you must give attendance to it. You must put it first. You find Christian churches focus on praise worship more than Bible teaching. No, we should be particular about who is preaching and who is leading the song. Who is preaching? There's one guy like that. You see, they know him in Coca-Cola. They know him around. The guy can talk. In fact, he's known in United Nations. He should not come to this place. United Nations. Coca-Cola. Pepsi. Nigerian Breweries. Church. No. You shouldn't wait for the judgment day. Hallelujah. So the apostles majored on it. Rather than be looking for signs. I will fast. If I fast, go to fast. I fast. Years ago, I told you before, I fasted almost 270 days in 1 year. Fasted this year, I still fast. I fast. Doctors had to tell me to stop at the point. Because one time, I did 40 days, and I did 5 days, actually 90 days after. I did 120 days after. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I believe in fasting. Praise God. When I was talking about some of you, we were not even close to the cross of Jesus. Years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you fast without the word, you will slow down one day. You will need to read the word. You need to spend quality time reading it and listening to it. Do you have an MP4 player? An MP3 player? Things have become so easy for us, right? We have these things recorded. We can listen to them again and again. And again and again and again. And that's what can keep us in the will and plan of God. Listen, this is God's plan for my life. Raise your Bible. Say, this is God's plan for my life. Raise it with me. I want everybody to say, this is God's plan for my life. I will follow the words spoken concerning me in this book. This is the plan of God and the purpose of God and the provision of God for my life. I will do the word and I'll follow God's plan for my life. So don't follow yourself. Don't follow. I like that Christian. It's not to spiri koko. Someone told me, he said, you know, that guy is spiri. I said, are you kana? You know the words on Bible, I got kana be yik. Hey! Or smelly with carnality. He said, that scripture, that scripture now, that's about him. Your dad is tested, something like that. I said, eh? That thing. You know? That area, shall that is tested. How would that kind of person ever know that it's God that is talking to him or the devil or his grandfather? You won't know. Because you are not accustomed to the voice in the book. Any voice will sound like God's voice. Just like when I'm calling some folks, and I'm calling them from maybe a new number, I always know whether they don't listen to the materials or not. I say, hello, who is this? I'm going to put extra. Hello, who is this? Say, good morning. I don't know this voice. I don't know this number. Who is this, please? Please, can I know who is talking? I say, my name is Adonika. Yes, sir! When you spend time in the Word to hear it, it makes it easy for you to recognize the voice of God. There are many voices in this world. You must have a recognition, recognition technique. You have it written. Told you one time. I was in the service, and this prophet of God, was prophesying, turned to a lady in the service. When people start doing all sorts of things before they prophesy, you better open your eyes well. I said, say what you want to say. So, they're doing very well, very, 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 very rascals there. See, what do you want to say? When Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, you know, in Luke 20, he said, and Jesus being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, thank you, Father. Or Acts 2, Peter lifted his voice with his level, and he said, this man I don't know. I said, but this is that. Hallelujah. That. We spoken by the prophet. Say what you want to say. So that we can judge what you are saying. Don't manipulate us. So the guy was there and he said, he told me and he said, years ago, we were young. Before you met the Lord, and wanted to mention our sins, or his sins, both. I ran up to him, I said, stop it, shut up! The pastor was going to say, shut up! God will not be welcome. So your sins and iniquity, I will remember no more. That is the Spirit of God. This one is from a great village. How did I know it wasn't God? I'm already used to him. Hallelujah. Get used to the word. Hallelujah. I close here. Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it comes the issues that govern life. Guard your heart. How does information get to your heart? Through what you see, through what you hear. I have a teaching like that. If you can get them out for me, four important parts of the human life. You weren't in church then, were you? Yeah, praise God. Four important parts of the human life. It's about basic instructions. How to guard your eyes, your heart, your ears, and your mouth. Things get to your heart with your mouth, right? Your ears, your eyes, and your thoughts. Amen. Things you brood upon, think upon. You need to be careful. Bombard yourself. I want to see Christians arise and bombard themselves with the word. When you bombard yourself with the word, you will not be looking for voices. You will know what God is telling you to do. Study it. Listen to it. Go for fellowship meetings. Be there. Sometimes I'm tired and I feel, my God, my kind of schedule, sometimes I'm tired. I'm just playing it and I'm dozing and I'm going. I'm tired, I want to sleep, but this thing was getting somewhere. Hallelujah. Because that's how to keep your heart fresh. Get it across to yourself. Read the word. Read it. When you are accustomed with the voice in the scriptures, you will recognize any voice talking to you. Sometimes you just smile and say, Satan, try and mimic that voice again. You got it wrong. I know the voice. Hallelujah. That voice doesn't say what you just said. Glory to God. I was in the service of a respected pastor in this country. And he began to say things about me and from folks in the service. He said certain things, I won't repeat them here because I really like repeating the devil. And my wife was there. She went married then years back, very many years ago. And I said, you know what I feel like doing? Said, what? I feel like going there and removing his shirt. This man is sick. She said, ah, I said, what's all this? Is this from God? In the old place where they were playing keyboard like this. You know what I mean? He said, this is nonsense. He said, I said, what is this? And I went to meet him after. That's not from God. Amen. Met him years later. So I said, what did I say? Nothing. I don't think about the sins. Praise God. How do you know it's not from God? Abba. I was with him this morning. Amen. We spent 1-2 hours talking. He was talking. I was listening, reading the word. Amen. He didn't tell me anything like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We get accustomed to the word. The Bible is God's plan for your life. Okay? Read it and ensure that you keep a company of people, particularly a local church where the scriptures are upheld. Amen. They are taught, they are sung, they are spoken of all the time. The Bible, like a friend of mine said 1 year back, is not one of the many manuals used in the service. The Bible is the only book referred to in the church. Are you blessed? Put your hands and give God praise.